Recording in progress.
Welcome, everybody. We're live and we're ready to stir the pot today. Today's conversation isn't just about launching Talentless. It's about shaking up the table. I'm Desiree Goldie, one half of the duo of Talentless, a podcast that calls out the noise in recruiting in HR and calls in the people doing the work. I'm here with my co-host, Ashley King. We're joined by someone who really needs no introduction, Mike Bedito. And one of the loudest and most respected voices in the talent space. Mike's here.
Did you say the loudest?
Oh, you want me to say loudest?
Okay. No, it's fine. I was just asking if you call me the loudest. I don't disagree.
I liked it.
I'm here with my co-host. Hold on.
See, this is why you can't have me anywhere. You guys brought me on here to do something serious, and then look what I did.
No, this is perfect.
I'm here with my co-host, the brilliant Ashley King, and we're joined by someone who really needs no intro. Mike Bedito, one of the loudest and most respected voices in the talent space. Mike's here actually to flip the script a little bit and interview us about why Talentless exists, what we're trying to dismantle, and who we're trying to empower. So, Mike, thank you so much for agreeing to do this. You know the space better than most, and we're just so fortunate to have you join us. And are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm honored that you asked me to do this. I've known both of you for less than a year, but you've been like my favorite people in the world since then. Getting invited to do this is great. I'm excited for the episodes. I'm excited to talk to you. I'm excited for all of it.
Awesome. Thank you. Let's get it started.
Yeah. Okay. So I've been watching you two hype everything up and post a lot and talk about the podcast. And you keep saying that Talentless isn't just another recruiting podcast. As someone who did run just another recruiting podcast, what makes this one different?
That's so hilarious. That's a great question. So I would say for us, it's about honesty and candidness and transparency. It's about saying what's happening in our field and being Mike Bedito loud about it. It's about saying the things that HR and talent teams can't usually say out loud or on LinkedIn Live. So we made a space, a safe space where professionals and talent can have educated and innovative conversations that make them the best in the business. And essentially, Desiree and I were already having these conversations. And we were like, you know what? Why don't we make them public? And so that's kind of how we're here.
We're kind of just talking to each other.
Those are the best podcasts, though, to be honest. Right? Just like people are going to tune in for you two more than anything else. So I think, you know, knowing how you two are together, I think that's exactly what they want to hear.
Yes. I love that.
Okay. So You love dismantling things. You sort of mentioned it and talking through these. I mean, what is the biggest myth or lie in HR or recruiting that you're excited to dismantle?
Yeah, I'm going to start with that culture fit is a good reason not to hire someone, right? It's one of the things I get really angry about. Most of the time, fit just means familiar. It means what we know. It's in a lazy, stupid excuse we dress up as instinct, right? We feel it in our gut that they're not a culture fit. And you like get all riled up about that one, two little words. And it actually is just bogus, right? If your culture can't adapt to great talent because they think differently, you don't have a culture. You have a clique, right? Mm-hmm. And organizations shouldn't be a clique. Nobody innovates inside a clique. No one's productive inside a clique. It just doesn't work. And then we also lose all the belonging and the inclusion and all the things that Ashley and I love to talk about. But it's one of the things that I think is the biggest myth in front of hiring managers and organizations today, that they're trying to find this culture fit.
That was a good one. For me, I would say like literally anything tied to merit. That is my hot and bothered term right now, because honestly, merit honestly rarely reflects what someone has earned. It much more measures what someone has had access to. And just to be candid, in very short amount of words, measures money. It measures access, network, privilege. It does not measure your grind or your grit. So for me, that is probably one of the biggest ones, just because the idea that DEI was somehow disrupting a fair merit system and that one needs to be over the other. In my mind, DEI was kind of the equalizer. It was the bias balancing beam. DEI didn't break the system, in my opinion. It tried to fix one that was already working overtime to keep minoritized people out. So DEI didn't necessarily to me, like, lower the bar. It in fact showed that we can have like highly qualified, minoritized individuals from marginalized communities soar so high that they're just like, what bar? And that was something that I think we're not talking about enough, is how much untapped talent we really have. But I mean, in America, we know that equality can feel like discrimination to an oppressor. So their renewed antidote is the myth of merit. So, you know, it's just the normal corporate America giving the old dog whistle a little razzle dazzle. That's why, yeah, I'm not into the razzle dazzle.
Say those two words together. Razzle dazzle.
Yeah, they, and it's, I talk all the time too, just about like most qualified doesn't mean anything. I would say, like, what does most qualified mean? Like the most boxes checked, the most years doing something, like the best education, like it's different for everyone. Mm-hmm. So whenever I hear that, like, the most qualified person doesn't get it because of that, I'm just like, how do you know? Based on what?
Yeah.
I think you just meant you didn't get the job.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
In our episode about this, we talk about the fact that you're just mad you didn't get the job. So you need to blame it on something else, right?
Yeah. Welcome to my TikTok comments. We go in on these ideas against people with anonymous photo avatars, users 27896471. Anyway, this isn't about me. So you did mention one episode. I know you have another one. Talking about, no, I mean, I'm the loudest voice, but that's okay. I'm going to be quieter today as we talk to you. But you do have an episode that talks about good recruiters and bad recruiters and scammers. There's a ton of them, but what's like the red flag you wish more job seekers knew?
For me, and there was literally a post today. Someone was like, I approved someone with Comic Sans font to go to the next round. Or Ashley, if anyone tells you that they will help you beat the ATS, that they can give you an ATS compliant resume, put them in the garbaggio. They belong in the trash. Those are not the people we need to be listening to. And anyone that says just the three words, beat the ATS, bye, see ya. Like, I can't.
Mine is, you know, if a recruiter can't really tell you why you're a fit for a role beyond like the keywords that you stuff because your resume writer's stuck in there, they're not a recruiter. They're not a true partner. They're not going to advocate for you. They're just like a middleman with Wi-Fi. It's not the answer of what a real true recruiter does. And the great ones do it well. Real recruiters know how to tell your story, right? Mm. And challenge the hiring team to see your value. That's what a real recruiter does, and get you past some of the garbage in the job description sometimes, right? So I, you know, that's my big one. So yeah, but it's tough because I think there are a lot of recruiters, I think in 2022, that got hired that, you know, they're just not the best, right? Mm-hmm. Because it was a super need for them. And so we put a lot of people in the seat who were never trained to be great recruiters. And so that's why it's one of our episodes.
Yeah. That's such like a funny world to even look back on now. 4 years ago, like all you needed was like a pulse and you were just like a recruiter and you can make a lot of money. And now recruiters are begging to do any work. And a lot of those people who started then are the ones struggling the most kind of to get hired now, right? Because they had that 1 to 2 years of like not very good experience or training. And now it's harder than ever to like get recruiting work. That's who all became the beat the ATS resume writers.
Jeez, no joke. That's if they got the 2 years. Some of them didn't even get that. They just hopped in. They were like, this looks good. I can do this.
So I know we're all perfect and the best recruiters, and we can sit here and make fun of terrible recruiters all day long. But do you two have any hiring mistakes that still haunt you today?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I struggled with this early in my career, and one of them was hiring people for what was on the paper, like their credentials, right? And not really listening to their character and whether they were a culture add to an organization. You see, I didn't say culture fit, a culture add to that organization, right? They weren't built to lead, or they weren't built to do great work, inspiration for their team. I didn't ask those questions. I was so concerned with checking all the boxes on that job description that I just put them in the seat. And I actually had an employee that literally decimated an entire department within less than a year. I mean, less than a year, just completely, everybody left. You know, and I take that personally, and it's something that I always look for now, and I'm really conscious of it, because these people who we put in leadership positions have the ability to destroy lives, right, really quickly. And so it's been something that haunts me constantly. And when I say haunt, it makes me really do better at my job when it comes to that piece of recruiting, because it really did. It broke my heart.
Department, it's okay.
As you were talking and you were like, and I took that personally, all I could picture was Michael Jordan. And I took that personally. That's the best meme, and it deserves. So that was a great answer. For me, I would say on anything that makes someone good has a lot of trial and error sometimes. I mean, if you're wise enough to not have to, cool. But that's only if you have access to the right people, or else you're just going to be connected to beat the ATS people. So I would say that I was a big trial and error recruiter, learned a lot. But early on, I definitely treated every hiring manager kind of like they were more royalty than a partner. So I was just excited to be invited to their Bridgerton gatherings. And I was afraid to push back. I did not use my advocacy hat. I was not someone that would fight for the candidate, because I was like, at the end of the day, I guess they know what's best. So that's, you know, who am I? And that was a silly statement, because the real answer is, who are they? Because we do need structure. We do need pushback. We do need someone mitigating these biases, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're navigating a hiring circus. And like, do you want to be a sightseer or ringleader, or what do you want to do? Because all of that will be relevant here. So I would say the biggest thing, that mistake that haunts me, is just the times that I wasn't an advocate in the corner for the candidate, because now I see how biased the process is, that if they don't have an internal champion, only manager's friends are going to get hired. And that's, you know, that's the job of an internal recruiter, is to be that balance.
Yeah. And that's so hard for even experienced recruiters. And especially like when you start a new job, right? I can think about like even all the experience I have. I start a new job and I still like am worried to push back on a CTO or, you know, an executive manager, because you don't want to be that new recruiter that they don't like working with because of that too. Right. And I do think it's such a hard balance for recruiters to have to figure out.
Yeah. That's actually my favorite part. I know that that sounds wackadoo, but the manager partnership, especially when they hate talent, I'm like, oh, bring it. You're about to be my best friend, buddy. Let's get close. And usually 9 times out of 10, they hate me, but they don't tell me until after they leave. But we get a lot of good work done. So, you know, that's my faves.
90% hated ratio.
I got a high count there.
High Rotten Tomatoes on the recruiting scene.
Yeah, that's all right. This is a podcast for recruiters, so they get it, because we all are hated by like 90% of everybody we interact with.
It's very true.
So with this and at recruiters, what do you hope people walk away with after they listen to Talentless?
For me specifically, I want listeners to come and learn, to be able to take what we're illustrating, our insights, our data, and create kind of this innovation sphere and environment from it. On the podcast, I feel like we also talk a lot about empathy and just having unconditional compassion towards humans, and how that is not a weakness in this space. That if we are people, that's kind of the way that it should be. So talking about how you harness that as a superpower strategically to make like statistical improvements in your business. So for me, that's something that like my hope is that people come up to us and are like, oh, I changed this and I did that and I made these innovation and these things work. Because to me, that's what's going to keep this world going around. Doing the same old tired stuff isn't going to meet the mark anymore.
Yeah. You know, I think for me, and as you were talking, I almost, you know, want to change my answer a little bit, but I'm going to keep it the same. You know, I want people to be seen and heard. And this space is really tough. And when you're in it, some days it feels like you're alone on an island just struggling. Especially if you're like a single recruiter, not working some big organization, this can feel horrifying some days. And I want people to feel like they're called in and that someone's listening to them. You know, we're naming the messy parts of this work, because that's where the real change starts. We're not just venting. It's about the vision of what could be. And I think that the more we have people listening to us and really, really learning, like Ashley said, I really want them to get fired up to do good work. And I just want them to be the best at what they do and not feel like they're alone, which is important.
Yeah. And I want us to do it well for the community and the group that we serve.
Absolutely. Well.
Like the candidates, the people, because talent's a really interesting thing where we are the generator and the consumer. We're the ones setting the standard and having to abide by same set standards. Whenever an HR salary range is only up to 150, that's because HR has said this is what we'll accept as a whole. So whenever we think about those things and the role that we really do play, I completely agree with Desiree. I mean, just echoing everything she says.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be so important for people, right? It is lonely as someone who's been a startup recruiter my whole life, right? Like, it has always just been me. And I think about talks I've done or times I've talked with recruiters and experienced recruiters down to junior recruiters, like all of us have received so little training, like real training. And I think that like every time you hear another recruiter say something that they do or an idea that they have or where that they go, sometimes it just hits you like, oh, that's genius. I've been doing this for 15 years. Why have I never even thought to try that? So I think like getting people in and talking about that is just so important. So I'm excited for that.
We are too.
So that's how you're supporting us. How can we support you? Like, what can the HR and talent community do to support you and make sure this works?
I got a million things. No, I'm
just bet.
Well, we'd love to follow us on LinkedIn. Also subscribe to us on talentlesspodcast.com. We'd also love some guest nominations. If you got somebody out there that you just want us to talk to because you think they're rocking the world in talent, we'd love to have them. And yes, Ashley.
Oh, no, I was going to say, or if you don't like them and need someone to tear them up.
Are you going to bring guests on and just like dress them down?
So I don't think I'm allowed to because Desiree has stopped me. But if someone comes in with the wrong, you know, if they want to be wrong, that's fine.
But I think there will be some moments where we don't agree, right?
Sure. There are.
We're going to call it out. This is to be honest and we're not good and authentic in what we believe in, which Ashley and I usually are on the same page. And there are people that we just don't agree with. You can come on the show, but you better be ready. Yeah. So we're also, I have 2 episodes live already. So please go check those out wherever you find your podcast. The first 2 are out already. Thanks to Ashley King, who just couldn't wait a hot second. So please, please go ahead and do that. But we're just excited. We're just so excited. But the more people subscribe and definitely follow us on LinkedIn so we can do more things like this, we would appreciate it. We would appreciate it.
Yeah. And all right, Mike, you have been hosting us for the most glorious event that we have had here. And so one question that we had for you was, what advice would you give to people who are wanting to go into the talent sphere of influencing? What advisement would you give this new venture for us, if any?
You get out. Yeah, there's too many of us.
Mike.
No, you know this space. And I think there's 2 types of like talent influencers I see. The people who like are chasing what they think people want to hear and making content and feel like they have to keep making content, and the people who are making content that they want to be making and like making it. And that second group grows slower, but I think the growth is more scalable. And I think the burnout is less, right? It's just sort of like, if you're not having fun with the stuff you're doing, stop doing it. Take a break. Think about what's going to make it fun again. Like when it starts to feel like, oh, I have to do this again. I have to get this out today. It means something's not going right. You're going to feel like it occasionally, but it's just like when you just don't want to anymore, something has to change. I think be yourselves, make the stuff you want to make and let it go from there. Don't chase trying to get certain people. Right. Focus on what you want to do and the people and helping the people who would like that find you.
Yeah, that's such good advice. Such great advice. It's awesome.
So just so we can continue getting your advice, where are all the places people could find you? Because I will let you know, my partner just last night was on, if I know him at all, it's Reddit, and was doing something and I could hear what he was listening to. And I was like, what's the name of that person that was just talking? And he was like, Mike Petito. And I was like,
on Reddit?
So, yeah, he was listening to you. I think there was something of yours, either TikTok or Reddit or something, but he's in the forums and he looks, because he's also seen Denise Conroy before, but I've only ever heard 2 people whose voices were familiar to me. And so, and it was you. So tell everyone where they can find that voice, because I literally felt like I saw a celebrity sighting. Like you would have thought you were Oprah, Mike. Like it was wild.
I'm not that famous. I like, sometimes I go to HR conventions and I'm like a B celebrity, and that's that's like the best it gets.
I saw one of your videos and you were like, the lady came up and asked to take a picture. Sorry. And you were like, that was so hysterical.
Rona was there with me too. Like, she saw it all happen. Really? So like, I couldn't even pretend it didn't happen. Like, she watched it in lifetime.
That was the funniest thing ever.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm not that famous, but you can find me on LinkedIn, obviously, with Mike Pedito, LinkedIn/in/mpedito. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Realistic Recruiting. You could find me on YouTube at that name too, but I don't really use my YouTube, but I always just plug it in case I start one day. And that's about it. I'm on Threads, but I don't know what the hell I'm doing on Threads. It's Realistic Recruiting everywhere. You can find it. And MikePedito.com. If you are, as a recruiter or on a hiring team, you are interested in somebody to talk with your company about modern hiring or brand building or all sorts of things I can do. I've been working with a lot of companies in this way. You can find me on MikePedito.com. That's more aimed at some of your companies and recruiters more than the job seeker.
Nice. So, well, we can't thank you enough for doing this. This was honestly just fabulous. I don't think I've laughed this much in a couple of days. So that was good for me.
Nobody will even know that I messed you up during the intro and you had to redo it.
And no one would even know that you and I were hanging out yesterday. And clearly your laughs meant nothing. The launch party is also the end. No, I'm just kidding. We're not breaking up. We're together.
Well, we thank everybody for joining us. And until next time, this is Talentless. And please go follow us everywhere. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye.